Warning.
Warning.
Now for a word of caution.
It's time to step into the danger zone with your host, the danger himself, Chris Danker.
Chris Danker.
Yes, hello. I'd love to speak with you about your car's extended warranty. Yes, I'll hold. Oh, we're on. Oh, we're live. My bad. Welcome back into the danger zone. That's what it's called. Episode number 8. I might sound happier than I actually am, because honestly, I'm just sad that October is over now. Halloween is over. Happy belated, I guess. I've always loved the month of October. So that whole transition into the fall and all the things, it's over. And if I'm grouchy today, I apologize in advance. But this episode today actually rules. I don't think I'm ever going to say, hey, this episode is my favorite or this one is my favorite, shit like that. But the hour or so of my chat today with WWE's Kofi Kingston absolutely just flew by. And I really hope you guys dig it. Shout out to the patrons that support the show over on patreon.com/Chris Danker. As y'all have seen, I don't, you know, put ads on the show. I'm not really looking for, you know, brand deals and, you know, stuff like that at the moment. So the Patreon is, you know, a huge way to help move this thing forward. Not to mention, I have to bribe every single one of my guests, you know, with like cash and gifts and favors. I'm kidding. That was a joke. But patreon.com/Chris Danker gives you access to the video versions of the show, plus the bonus segment, the dark match. And today, with Kofi Kingston, I'm a terrible person because I made him watch a very, 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 very old promo of his from 2005, 2006-ish. First of all, do you know how hard it is to find footage of Kofi Kingston pre-WWE? I even asked Johnny, John Blood, who knows like every piece of wrestling footage that exists on the internet. He's like, damn, I don't know about that one. So instead of a match, Kofi reacts to a promo that he cut as part of a company called Chaotic Wrestling. And he essentially was instructed to act like Ludwig Borga. And if anybody remembers Ludwig Borga and the promos he used to cut, just picture Kofi doing those, but in like a fake Jamaican accent. It's such a gem of a find, and he reluctantly reacted to it with me for this week's dark match. So that goes up the same time that the podcast goes up. If you're interested in hearing that or checking that out again, that's on the Patreon, and it should already be up right now. You know what I recently realized, too? Just kind of talking about videos and content and shit. I've never really, I guess I shouldn't say promoted. I never really talk about my YouTube channel at all on these podcasts. But honestly, like some of the content and some of the stuff I've been working on and putting out lately, I'm actually very happy with, which, believe it or not, I don't often say about my own videos. I would say maybe like a year and a half ago, my channel was struggling a little bit. Like, and I didn't care for the most part. I was like, eh, here's a video, whatever, here's a video. I tried to put the effort in, but I just became really just disconnected from it for a little bit. So I spent the last year almost studying YouTube and the algorithm, and the stuff that I've learned over time made me take a look at my channel recently and be like, oh wow, I'm doing everything wrong. Like, I needed to take my ego out of it and just kind of play the game, so to speak. Blah, blah, play the game. Like, just play the YouTube game. So my whole focus now with the channel is finding that balance where I can be like, okay, YouTube, I know what you want as far as, like, the thumbnail and these little things that you look for, but I'm still making the content. The bulk of the actual content in there is still very much me. And I think just some of the stuff that's been going up lately has been pretty good. So if you maybe haven't checked out the channel in a little bit or whatever, feel free to check some of that stuff out. I think it's pretty good. There was actually a comment I saw, which, you know, 99 times out of 100, if it's anything negative, it's in one ear and out the other. It is what it is. I've heard it all after doing this for like 7 years. But it was something along the lines of like, man, I stopped watching Chris after like 2K18 because he became too kid friendly or something like that. Something about me screaming and being too kid friendly. The screaming part, honestly, I understand because it's like, I don't know, sometimes I get caught up in the moment. It is what it is. But the kid-friendly shit honestly kind of pissed me off a little bit because that was not my fucking decision. Like, that's the whole problem. I don't know if people remember this. Around that time, what was going on with YouTube, they were literally demonetizing everybody left and right back then for nothing. For fake violence in video games, for minimal cussing. People were literally just losing their paychecks. It took them so long to get that shit just straightened out during that time. So I pretty much just had to not curse and not have too much blood in the video. I had to be careful about what was in the thumbnail. So like, if you didn't know any better, you'd probably be like, oh, this dude's family-friendly channel, huh? You know, let me let my 8-year-old watch with me. And it's like, no, you just... You shouldn't do that. Honestly, you probably shouldn't do that. Like, if you look back at the 2K15, 2K16 videos I did, I feel like everything was like, oh, fuck this. Ah, shit. Ah, this and that. And I guess when that changed, because it had to, it made some people abandon ship because they felt like maybe I was becoming another one of those, you know, YouTube guys. Like, what are those YouTube guys? Like, the ones that just make you go, you are not a real person. There's no way you're an actual person. I feel like some people were starting to feel that way about me, which was another reason, like I said, a year and a half ago, I started to just pull back and be like, damn, maybe I'm doing something wrong. But long story short, I'm very happy with the shit that I'm putting out right now. And, you know, the people that are helping me out behind the scenes, Brandon and Big Red and Michelle, and just everybody's just been super cool, like helping me get back to where I want to be with all that. I think as I get older too, I really start to honestly just give less and less of a fuck. And it's pretty glorious. As somebody who grew up with anxiety, has dealt with it through, you know, my entire adult life so far, it's really becoming a life changer, just not caring about those external non-factors, you know, bam, non-factor. Being able to just be like, this is me, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm saying or what I believe in, and that's where it ends. That's it. Anyone's opinion on shit outside of my circle and the people whose opinion actually carries any weight to me, it's all just becoming TV static now, you know what I mean? And it's something I highly recommend for everybody to do, but it does take time. Be you, but be good, too. I think that's equally important. Speaking of good, speaking of great, speaking of incredible, my conversation today is with the incredible Kofi Kingston, a record-breaking champion, WWE veteran, former Jamaican, honestly, just all-around amazing person. I love this dude to death. Feel free to drop that 5-star rating on iTunes if you enjoyed the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Kofi Kingston to step into the danger zone. So there are days where I'm really, really grateful to be doing what I do. And today is definitely one of those days because I'm sitting here with the man, the legend, WWE's Kofi friggin' Kingston, man. Thank you for stopping by, dude.
No, thank you for having me on. I was just telling everybody, or just telling you, that it's been too long since I've seen your actual face.
I know. It's been.
And even now, it's virtual, so it's not your actual face. So,
yeah, we haven't had that, you know, that interaction in a little bit. It's been a little too long. How are you? How are you feeling? What's up, man?
Oh, I feel great, man, on top of the world, you know what I mean? My boy just won the King of the Ring, you know? My other boy is the WWE champion, so my friends are doing big things, you know what I'm saying? So over here, you know, checking off bucket list items, you know what I'm saying? So I feel fantastic, man.
Awesome.
I feel
That's great. Awesome. And if, correct me if I'm mistaken, the Kingston's got baby number 3 on the way as well?
That's right. Oh. Yeah, it's less than 2 weeks now. The due date is November 11th.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's right around the corner, man. Like,
I didn't realize it was that close. Holy.
It's crazy. You know what's crazy is, like, so with this pregnancy, and I keep saying like I'm having the baby, and I got to do the fun part. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to do any of the pushing or anything like that. But like, I thought that, so with my other two sons, I had been on the road for the majority of the year, you know, the duration of the pregnancy. But it went by like really fast, you know? So I was like, okay, cool. I've been home now, obviously, with like the pandemic and everything. Sure. And our schedule hasn't been as rigorous as it's been in the past. So I was like, okay, now that I'm home, like maybe it will go by slower, right? Because I'm here more to see everything. And it's not the case at all. Like, I feel like it's gone by
still
even faster,
by.
Like twice as fast. It's crazy that we're like legit 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
And the whole dynamic of the house is about to change, you know?
First girl, right? Because you two sons is first girl.
Yeah, I'm nervous about that, man.
Yeah.
You know, being a girl dad and everything.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, they talk about like selective attention, selective retention and stuff you start noticing out in the real world. And I feel like when I found out that we were having a girl, I was, you know, I'd go to the airports and then I'd see like, you know, fathers with their daughters. I'm like, oh, that's going to be me. Or like some daughter, like, you know, lipping off to their parent. I'm like, oh no, that's going to be me. Like,
what am I going to do?
What am I going to say? Yeah. You know? So, just super excited for this, this blessing in our lives, man. And to be here. My wife is superwoman with, her, you know, just being able to carry a baby inside your body for 9 months. And like,
what?
Come on, man. Like, women, bro.
Seriously. Ah, crazy.
Round of applause.
Absolutely.
I'm just, man. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Of all the guests I've had on, and please don't tell any of them, you're the one whose career I've probably followed like the closest or the most over the time. So there was like this period of time between like 2003 and like maybe 2007 where I wasn't really, I kind of just got out of it. You know, sometimes you just go through phases and you just like get out of stuff.
Of course.
I wasn't really watching wrestling. And then I started getting back into it again around like late 2007, 2008, which is right around the time you got there.
Yep.
So I see this young whippersnapper named Kofi Kingston. And I was like, yo, this dude is awesome. If I had to put you today in a room with 2008 Kofi Kingston, what would you say to that, man? What would you say to day one Kofi if you had the chance?
What could I say? I would just say get ready for a wild ride. And everything that you wanted to have come true is going to come true. Now, like a lot of people, so this is just to go off topic a little bit, but I'll bring it back around. Like people ask me like, okay, well, what is the new day, right? And I'm like, well, you know, we're three guys who wear bright colors and we like unicorns and we like pancakes and we have bootios and we'll twerk. Sometimes we'll hip swivel. I'll say that I don't like country music. We can all talk, but we're all entertaining, but we can all be. It's like this big like smorgasbord of everything, like covering all the bases and none of it makes sense. So I can't, you know what I mean? Like I can only imagine having that conversation with myself in 2008, like trying to tell myself like what I was going to be, because I don't know. I never really pictured it like this. When I had aspirations of being a WWE superstar, I was like, oh, well, I'm going to win all the championships and everybody's going to know who I am. And they'll see it. I'll be the best. You know, and from like so many different levels, it's like, that's such a small part of what we do. I mean, whether it's like the whole like community service aspect and just using our influence and celebrity for positivity, you know, to influence people's lives. I still don't understand to this day why like kids listen to what I have to say, you know, like, you know, we'll go to like these, Be a Star, our anti-bullying campaign. You know, we'll go to these sessions and I'll see all the kids, like before we get up on the stage, everyone's like really rowdy and wild and whatnot. Yeah. Then we get there and then they're just so focused and attentive and they're on the edge of their seat, just waiting to hear what we have to say. Yeah. So, to me, like that is the best part, is being able to have a voice that, that influences people in a positive way, because I've been so lucky, man, to have done so many incredible things in this industry. And I feel great about it. You know, like I go to work every day and I'm like, this isn't work. I don't feel like I'm working, you know, obviously like I'm going out there and we're trying, you know what I'm saying? we're doing stuff, but it's so fun sometimes and so fulfilling that it doesn't even really feel like laborious. Yeah. So, I don't know how I would express all of that to this young upstart who was just trying to win championships and be popular, right?
2008 Kofi's in there like, wow, what are you talking about?
I have long hair, you know, like blonde dreadlocks. Like, what is going on? Who is this guy? And why are you doing these things? Why are you wearing these tight clothes? You know,
he's like, oh, that color scheme is interesting. Yeah. What do you think? Like, what's changed most about you as a person, you think, since then?
I feel like I'm a lot more just grateful and aware of my like I said, my influence, you know. I think when I first started, I was just somebody who was trying to make it and just find a way to like achieve a dream. But now, like knowing what that dream involves, I think that I'm a lot. It's hard to say because I've always been like a calm dude. You know what I'm saying? I've never been like, I'm not one to worry about a whole lot. Mm. You know, I really believe that the universe takes care of all things and everything kind of happens for a reason. Mm. And that's just the way that my life has been, you know, just being somebody who has faith that things are going to work out. If you do good, then you invite good into your life, right? Yeah. Like the law of attraction and being able to like be a positive person attracts that same positivity into your life. So absolutely. I think I feel a lot more reassured in that sense that, you know, what I thought my hypothesis has has come true. Through my wife and her like holistic lifestyle, a lot of times, like I remember, so I used to be a big like meat eater, especially like Five Guys burgers. In-N-Out burger was my thing, you know.
Yeah.
And my wife ended up going vegetarian like some years back, and I was like, I can't believe you're doing this. I'll never give up my burgers. I'll never give up my meat, you know. And here I am, you know what I mean? Like years later, pretty much vegan outside of eggs and honey, which technically is not a vegan product, but my eating habit has completely changed, you know. So that to me is probably like the biggest difference. If I had to put a finger on one, I would just say like my lifestyle has become a lot like just healthier. And that's not to say like I was living a real unhealthy lifestyle begin with. I just you know, made some shifts after reading some articles that grossed me out about what I was putting into my body.
Yeah.
And now here we are, you know. So the two main things.
I think I got to read some of those articles because I should probably swap out some of them.
You can't unread them. You can't unread them. And videos on Facebook, particularly there's one. So I don't know if you're familiar with gelatin. I give this, like, so many people have heard me say this, but like, are you familiar with gelatin? I know that they're not, you know. So any like candy out there that has like a gummy texture, so like gummy bears, Mike and Ike's, even marshmallows. I used to eat all of these things, you know, like consistent. It's Halloween season right now, a lot of kids are eating these things. But Jet Puffed marshmallows used to be my thing. And even like back in the WWE magazine days, they would ask you like, what's something that we don't know? I'm like, well, I love marshmallows. I eat a bag every week. And I was in, man. Like every week I would eat no less than a whole bag of Jet Puffed marshmallows. But I saw this video and it shows like the reverse engineering of a gummy. So it shows like somebody chewing and then all of a sudden they reach into their mouth and they pull out like this gummy, colorful gummy. They put it, it goes back in the bag gets sealed up, it goes into the box, and then the box goes into the truck goes reverse down the road, back to the factory, you know, and then all of a sudden it goes to like this vat where everything, like the color gets stripped out of it, and then all of a sudden it's this like this, this grainy goo, which looks gross, and then it goes back to like this, like it's a slaughterhouse. So it shows like the skin of pigs being like put back on. So the their skin and their hooves, that's what gives like these gummies their like their gelatinous flavor. So it keeps on going back, and the last shot is this pig like looking at the camera and almost like smiling, right? So, I was like, oh no. Like what have I been eating?
No.
You know, like I can't like, and to each their own, like I don't, you know, if you eat meat, I'm not somebody that's like, well, you got it. You can't do that because of this and that. Like to each their own, whatever. But for me, I was like, I can't.
You had that experience that changed everything.
So just be careful with the research that you do, because you can't unsee it. And once you know, it's very difficult to like to stay on that path. So that was my motivation behind that.
Babe, throw out the marshmallows.
They do have vegan marshmallows, though. They do have vegan ones. All right, we got, so that you
know, I'm glad we got options.
Yeah.
Oh my god! All right, I gotta try to get back on my track here.
Sorry.
No. But not your fault whatsoever. So around the time you came in, you were having a lot of really great matches with Dolph that I was a really big fan of. I loved seeing you two go back and forth. You were teaming with Evan and Punk and R-Truth. And you were put in so many different places at that time in your career. Do you think that kind of prepared you for what would eventually become the New Day? Being in those little group situations, kind of having, not that you were thrown together necessarily, but kind of, oh, now I'm teaming up with him. Did it kind of prepare you for that group atmosphere that would become your life?
Yeah, I think that like all the matches and all the experience that you have prepares you for what's next, whether you compare it by like the inverse, like, oh, this is what I'm doing and this is what I don't want to do. Or and that's not to say like I loved working with Evan and Punk and R-Truth. There's no animosity. They're just so completely different. I think just having the experience and wrestling with Punk, like everyone knows like his wrestling mind. I learned so much with Truth as well. Like, he has been around for so long and he's such a chameleon. I think like nobody, he can make you laugh. Like,
he's great.
There was that one feud that he had with Morrison where I was like, oh my God, like this dude is scary. Like, he can look at you and kind of flip the switch in a way that he doesn't get credit for. You know, he doesn't get credit for, you know, everyone thinks, oh, Truth, he's real funny. And he is. He's hilarious. Probably the most funny person on the roster, but he can do so much. Evan is incredibly athletic, insanely athletic. He was the guy that I got to watch like face to face. Or, you know, like for pretty much the best seat in the house, like watching him do all these incredible and crazy moves and techniques and into like technical wrestling. And I was like, oh, I got to step my game up, man. You know, like we would always be trying to like outdo each other. Oftentimes he won, but you know, that provided for a good, like entertaining tag team. So I think that, all of that prepares you for like what's next, because you take little bits and pieces of what you've learned and you apply it to what you're doing at the time. So, I will say that obviously like with E and Woods, it is a completely different vibe than I had with any of those other teams, anyone that I've ever teamed with, anyone that I've ever hung out with in the locker room, and even like in real life, anyone that I've ever like known. You know, you are lucky if you find one person that you are able to bond with in the way that I'm able to bond with Woods and E. And I found two. In the same business, in the same job, at the same time. Like, what are the odds? You know, like, I could have been on my way out, you know, in 2016 when we were starting to form the New Day, 2015 or whatever. And I would have never crossed paths with these guys. Woods is a guy who I kept crossing paths with, you know, kind of sporadically throughout my career while he was trying to break into WWE. Yeah, I just feel like I sit back and I think about that sometimes, because again, I'm really big on like the universe bringing people together, or, you know, just, you know, everything, like I said before, like everything kind of happening for a reason, right? Like, quick story. When I first met Woods, I was in the ring in Deep South in Atlanta in developmental, and he walks in with his resume and a suit on, record scratch, record scratching, stop, halt. Like, why is there somebody in here? You know, and he's like, oh, I just want to give my resume to, you know, and everyone's in there. Why does he have a resume? And he's supposed to have, because that's what you're supposed to do when you're looking for a job, right?
Yeah.
But we're over there and we're just like, we're just hating, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what is this guy doing here? You know, he gives his resume, nothing happens. And then same thing, we ended up moving to FCW in Tampa. And then door swings open, Xavier Woods in a suit with a resume in hand. I'm in the ring. I'm like, bro, what's going on? Like, so yeah. That's like the universe again, trying to like put
you two together.
Together, you know? Yeah. And if he had gotten signed in 2006, like, who knows? Like, would the New Day even be a thing?
Yeah.
Right? So like, yeah. He had to go through his struggle and go to his roundabout like way of getting into the business, because it just coincided with where I was in my career. And then E, like, this story kind of trips me out the most in a lot of ways, because he was a guy who never had the intention of pursuing a wrestling career until mm-hmm. someone asked him, like, hey, you want to try wrestling out? You know, he had been in his, you know, working towards a football career.
Yeah.
And it didn't end up working out. But because he was in the right place at the right time for this person to ask him, hey, do you want to be a WWE wrestler? And he says, oh, yeah, sure. He could have said no.
Yeah.
And then we'd have never met, you know? But he says yes. Anything could have happened. Like, if he didn't end up making it through, like, that developmental system. But obviously, like, he did. Like, you know, so that just trips me out, because it put all of us in the right situation at the exact right time. And, you know, like, we were able to create something so special, so unique. Something that's never been like really done to the extent that we've done it in WWE. So I just look back at that and I'm just like, so I'm so fortunate, right?
Yeah.
To be in that situation at that time. So then you start looking back at everything and it's like, man, gosh, this is crazy, because it all happened for a reason. I was frustrated because I wasn't getting this opportunity and that person was getting it and I was doing great, but then I wasn't getting pushed up and it all happened because of this, you know what I mean? Like, because this group had to form and it had to be exactly this way. If it was any other way, it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have come together. So a very, very long-winded way to say that, like, yes, it everything prepares you for your situation that you have, that you're in now. Like, what I think it's Game of Thrones where, Brent says, everything you've done has brought you to where you are now, right? Like, so everything matters, man. Like, everything that you have experienced helps you in the present, and it just keeps on going forward like that.
We touched on a little bit earlier, but obviously Big E became WWE champion, you know, an amazing reaction, an amazing response from the fans. How'd that feel for you, having been in that spot, knowing what those emotions feel like, being able to sit back and watch that one happen?
It was so incredibly awesome. Number one, because it took place in Boston, which is my hometown.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people that were in the crowd were people that I knew, right? Like, it was my home, you know, and now I'm bringing my best friend here to get the highest accolade in the industry.
That's awesome.
And again, like, I can't like stress it enough. Like, E's story to me is just incredible. To go from where you don't know a lick about wrestling. You know, he was a fan of Goldberg back in the day.
Yeah.
But, you know, he'll tell you himself, he wasn't like a hardcore wrestling fan. But to go from that to the pinnacle, and it's only through like hard work and dedication and sacrifice and the will to be better and not, you know, rest on your laurels and always just trying to find ways to get better, man. Like, I don't think anyone does that better than E. So to see like where he's come, like, from that perspective of somebody having like, you know, working their tail off.
Yeah.
You know, I have to censor that, because my son is over there on the other side of the camera. But just busting his chops to get to the highest accolade, that is what you strive for. That's what you're always told as a kid. Like, hey, if you work hard, you can achieve anything that you want to achieve. And he is a shining example of that. And then on top of that, he's one of my best friends, right?
Yeah.
So like, that just makes it feel like,
because
I know it on like a personal level of how, just exactly how much work he has put in, and his mentality on, again, just just getting better. And
yeah,
no matter what, every single day. Even when, so when he won that Money in the Bank briefcase, and this kind of like unfolded on a little pre-tape that we had right after, like a little reaction shot for WWE.com. You know, he was already trying to move on. Talking about, I gotta keep on moving. I said, bro, like this is for, there is such a limited amount of people that win this Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah.
Take a second to enjoy it. You know what I mean? Take a second to embrace it, man. But I think that's really like the nature of all of us, is that we're always trying to figure out like, hey, what's next? How can I get better? How can I make the most out of what I have now, to the point where sometimes we forget to like sit back and take a minute about and just reflect, you know? And I know he's done that since then, but it's just so amazing to see. It's just a beautiful story. It's just a beautiful story, just seeing his work and seeing that hard work pay off. And then especially because like the people wanted it too. Mm-hmm. You know, people would say it all the time, like, whoa, let's see what he can do as a singles competitor. And then even like before, when he was a bodyguard for Ziggler, like people were like, well, this guy doesn't have any personality. He's got to come. What? And you look at him now,
imagine,
and
it's like,
how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you say that?
Imagine.
So to see him prove everybody wrong is just, you know, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing for sure.
Yeah. And with the pace that everything happens with you guys, how quickly those moments come and go. Like you said, it's important to sometimes like try to sit there in the moment and just be like, oh, damn, I just did that. And I know it's hard to do because you got everything flies by with you guys. I know you, I feel like I know exactly what you're going to say, because I know you guys like to keep things a little close to the chest. I know you have some things planned with Woods for the king, you know, how the king goes forward and how his reign, you know, continues to do whatever it does over the company. What can you kind of fill us in on what to expect from that?
I can't fill you in on nothing.
I know.
On nothing.
It.
Not a goddamn thing.
I know.
A, good anyway. But all I'll say is this, man. Like, and going back to like having dreams that you accomplish, this was always Woods' dream.
Yeah.
Right? So we would get to radio interviews. I can't tell you how many times, like, wow, Kofi, you're one day you're going to be the WWE champion, right? And I'd be like, yeah, you know, that's my childhood dream. You know, we'll see if it happens. We'll work towards it. This happens. Like I said, everyone wanted him to be champion, you know, and they would ask Woods, like, was like, oh, no, I don't want any of those things. I just want to be king of the ring.
Mm.
And to the point where he has been pushing for this for like so long. Like, what a strange, like, or not even strange, but just unique goal to have.
Yeah.
Nobody, I've never heard anybody say like, well, what's your goal in this industry? Well, I want to be the king of the ring. What? Like, nobody has that goal, right?
Yeah.
Even when it happens, like people get put into the tournament and it's kind of like at random. We're like, okay, you're going to be in the tournament. It's like, oh, cool. Like, I'm in the king of the ring tournament and then maybe I'll be the king, but you don't have a plan. Woods has been planning this for the duration of his career, even before. Like, this is all that he's ever wanted. So all that to say, like, expect, like, you know, he's gonna go all out, right? Most there's a, you know, you only get really one reign as king. I don't think there's ever been like a two-time king, although that might be a great goal too. But you know, for this one, I think that you know, we got a lot of fun stuff planned. We'll see if it all happens, but we're gonna have fun with it anyway, man. And like I said, I just love to see it, man. I love to see dreams coming true.
Absolutely. And like, the coolest thing about everything with the three of you is that you've all had the opportunity to, like you said, achieve your dreams together while still part of the New Day, while still a team. That doesn't happen, like, ever. Teams break up, and then these guys fight each other, and then somebody does their solo stuff, and then maybe they get back together. Not you guys.
Yeah.
How?
I don't know.
Like, how do you continue to not only, like, remain fresh, but just from a wrestling business standpoint, how do you convince the higher ups to be like, no, don't touch this. We got this. Like, we got this.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of it is just like the proof being in the pudding, right? Well, you see us out there and we do things that nobody else does. I mean, We have our finger on the pulse of pop culture. We always try to implement what's going on in the world today in our promos and our segments. Or if we're not really at a point where we're not being utilized, we still try to figure out a way to like get noticed and steal the show. I mean, what's coming to my head right now is like we would have like a basketball hoop made and we'd walk like in the background and we'd just be on like a walk. They're, you know, okay, coming to the ring right now is Xavier, Biggie, and Kofi. And we'd just be, most people would just be walking and they'll be brooding and they'll be just pounding their hands or whatever, or warming up and looking at the sky. Everyone does the same thing. So we made this basketball hoop to where we would dunk on like production assistants, right? We'd set them up like, oh, it's, knock your paper out of your hand. Oh, sorry, dude. Here, go pick this up. And as soon as they did, we'd put the basketball hoop behind them. And then come through and just dunk on somebody, because when you see that happen, like in an NBA game or even like a video clip, everyone just goes nuts, right? Yeah. Like, it's crazy. You just get dunked on in the middle of the day. You know, you just try to do your job. Like, just little things like that where we just try to like, we try to entertain ourselves. And by doing that, we entertain people in a way that nobody else does for whatever reason. Like all three of us, we enjoy living outside that stereotypical box of thought where if something like seems dumb or seems like it doesn't make sense, we're going to do it.
That's probably
just
better.
Just because, you know, that hear people say that, like, what are they doing? Because now you leave the show and you're thinking about that backstage, you know, on the course of a 3-hour show, right? Where it's like, oh my God, you remember when Kofi dunked on that production assistant? Oh, the papers went everywhere. Oh. Then they're going to go try to like dunk on people, you know? Yeah. So it's like, we try to figure out ways to connect with the people. And I think that The Office recognizes the way that we are able to connect in a way that other people, you know, we're throwing out pancakes to people. Why? Who knows? But they're loving it, right? Like, oh, I got a pancake. I froze it. I took a bite out of it. Why did you do that? You sitting in the it's ale. It's probably been sitting in the back.
Yeah, you know? Probably shouldn't eat those.
I can throw it all the way up to the top of the rafters because it's stale. It's like an actual frisbee. It's that hard. You shouldn't put that in your mouth. But it's a memory, you know, that people have, and we're able to provide a lot of those memories in a way, again, that like other people on the roster just haven't been able to do. I won't say that they can't do it.
No, sure.
Anybody can do it. It's just a matter of being willing to think outside the box and, you know, take a chance and not be afraid to look a little silly sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and that way you connect.
If you had to put it on record, do you think you're the greatest three-man tag team of all time?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And I feel like I almost kind of hesitated, and I feel like a lot of times you're supposed to be like humble with it and everything. Like, but for me, man, you know, I'm old now. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting to the point. I don't really care what anybody thinks about me. I never really have. But when I think about the things that we have done, just off the top of my head, being able to go toe to toe with The Rock, the greatest, speaker in the history of our industry, the greatest motivator, the greatest trash talker, the most popular man in the world.
Yeah.
For us to be able to go toe to toe, granted it was like 3-on-1, right? You know, so it wasn't like a fair fight or whatever. We're one, you know. But, you know, to be able to go toe to toe with The Rock on that level was a real test of like, oh, okay, we're pretty good at this, you know. To be able to host WrestleMania, there's only a handful of actual talent that are, you know, active talent on the roster that have been able to do that. You know, there's just so many things that we have done to be able to have a food product be sold with WWE after 20 something year drought.
Yeah.
And for it to be called Bootios, like you're selling this, people are eating it, people are buying it, they're making signs. We've just been able to do, again, like a lot of things that are kind of groundbreaking. And then I haven't even gotten into like our accolades yet, right? Being the longest reigning tag team champions, the, you know, what, 11 times
time, right?
Now.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. Like, I look at all that stuff, and not that you compare yourself to anybody else, but and like you said, being a group that has never like had the desire to turn on one another, right? Like, I think that we were talking about like a lot of teams get thrown together, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, myself and Punk, and myself and R-Truth, and myself and Evan. Like, we were just teams that really got thrown together. It wasn't like our plan to like come together and be a team. But for the New Day, like, we chose to be together. We chose, they chose me to be in the group. And then we formed this bond, and, you know, we're, I don't know, man, we, we wanted to be together.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people, you know, don't want to, they're not wanting, they're not put in the situation where they are given the option to be together. So that just kind of like allowed us to, you know, just start with a different foundation
yeah.
than everybody else. Like, we wanted to be together. Therefore, why would I want to turn on my brother?
Yeah.
His success is my success. Woods is the king. I'm the king. He's the WWE champion. I'm the WWE champion. Mm. I do this. So we have that actual mentality of, you know, all for one and one for all. Right. Mm. So, yeah, from yeah. all of those perspectives, like, I can't think of another group that embodies most of those things, let alone all of those things mm. like we do. And then I mean, on top of it, WWE.com voted us the greatest tag team / faction of all time anyway. So so we got it official.
That's all you need
right
there.
If it's up to me, if it's up to me, I'm going to go ahead and say that. I'll double down on that and I can have that argument with anybody.
I'm glad you said that. Obviously, as you said, the accolades speak for themselves. Along with that, you know, being at such a, at the top, at the pinnacle, such a high level comes obviously with a lot of criticism. You guys shouldn't be doing this. You should be doing that. You shouldn't yeah. be acting like this. Grown men shouldn't twerk on TV, yeah. et cetera, et cetera. is it easy? I know you said as you're getting older, it's a lot easier for you to stop caring. Is it easy for that stuff to go in one ear and out the other? Or does that stuff ever get to you guys?
Yeah, no. It gets to us, but not in a way that like affects us negatively. Sometimes when I hear people like tell me that I shouldn't do something, I'll go out of my way to do it.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. you can't tell us like what to do and how to be after all the success that we've had, right? Mm-hmm. Like when I became WWE champ, everyone's like, well, now this is what you gotta do. You gotta go out there and be serious. You can't go out there and twerk with the title on your
eye. That's a champion.
What are you doing out there? This is what a champion does. You can't tell me what a champion does because I got there.
Yeah.
I know I'm the one who's reestablishing what the mold is.
Yeah.
You know, and by doing that, like you empower a lot of people because they see that, man, and they see like, oh my God, my personality is not really in line with the social norms, but I can still be something special if I want to be, because look at this guy. He's doing it. So I can do that too. You don't always have to do what's like socially acceptable, you know? I would argue that you'd be better off like just following your heart, man. Like, you know, when we're kids, the people tell you to follow your heart all the time, do what you believe in, you know? Yeah. And then you get to be an adult. And then when you don't like fall in line, people
get like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah. Nobody does this. Well, great. Cause I don't want to be like anybody else. Right. Yeah. Like we don't strive to be like anybody. We don't want to be in that box, man.
Yeah.
We don't want to be in that box. Cause it's just not a fun place to be.
there's something great about being able to just be unapologetically yourself. And it really, especially being, you know, on TV and in public, it really helps you connect with people on a deeper level. Cause they feel like they're seeing something real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
During the course of the pandemic too, I remember you and E were able to show a lot of love to the Black Lives Matter movement, wearing the names of people who lost their lives on your gear, just a lot of really great opportunities to like send a message there. What was it like for you to have that opportunity to use such a big platform to send, you know, that important of a message?
Yeah. So I think again, and I've said it a couple times in this interview, where like you using your celebrity for, you know, promoting positivity, right? And using your voice, you know, when you get to be in a position where you have eyes on you, it then becomes your responsibility to, you know, to do what's right on that public platform so that people see that, because it, you know, seeing is believing. It spreads, right? When people see you doing something that actually, you know, affects them in their life, like it means a lot.
Yeah.
So we wanted to show our support for the African-American community and, you know, social and fight against social injustice, because the more people that know, like the more people that are affected, then they go out and then they act. So what we do is very, very important. We take that responsibility like incredibly seriously. So it just felt like it was the right thing to do, you know, to show just the unity that we do not stand for social injustice. We will not tolerate it, and it's important that people know like where we stand on those issues.
Hell yeah. And I loved that moment, seeing the two of you in the ring. I think Woods was injured at the time.
Yeah, he was out with the Achilles.
And
yeah.
I'm sure you know he would have been right there with you guys too.
For sure.
With all that on top of everything that you already do in this line of work, and how you know the struggles, it can be a lot. It's not an easy job. I'm sure. Like as you said, it's a lot of fun, but it's definitely not an easy job.
Right. Right.
What does Kofi Kingston do to keep his mental health in check? And if you're comfortable talking about, have you had any, you know, struggles in that department that you're comfortable talking about?
Yeah, man. I think we all have ups and downs for sure. My main thing is to, you know, we talk about like the power of positivity, and I've said it a few times now, but for us and for me in particular, like it's not just a gimmick. You know, I don't just go out and be like, hey, be positive, and then, you know, walk through the curtain and then don't practice what I preach.
Yeah.
Like that's actually how I feel about a lot of, you know, the majority of what goes on in life, is that when you have a positive attitude, you attract that same positivity to you. You know, negativity breeds negativity. When you start to get down on yourself, or you start to look at things with the glass half empty mentality, like that all piles up. Your outlook on life affects the way that you live in the present. So, I think mental health, I'm so glad that it's been getting a lot more of a spotlight and a shine over the past, what seems to be like, I don't know, a couple years or so, where you have people in prominent positions, especially athletes, who are talking about their mental health issues and struggles. Because again, like being able to hear somebody who you think has the perfect life, when you look on Instagram and you see all these amazing filtered pictures and you see this awesome life and they're doing all these incredible things and they're meeting all these incredible people. Mm-hmm. But then you see that person give you an insight into what's actually happening, then you're like, oh my God, they are just like me, you know? Mm-hmm. So for a lot of reasons, obviously, for people to be able to identify with us, it's important that we are open, you know, or as open as you can be, right?
Sure.
I think it's very helpful. I think, like I said, for me, I just want to help people. I want to help people become the best versions of themselves. And if I can help you get through like a struggle by opening up a little bit and letting you know, like I am in support of you, and letting you know where you can go to get help if you feel down, down, or you feel like in a certain, like you're in a certain mood or whatever. Then I'm more than happy to do that, because to me that's really what it's all about. So, I think just being aware of your mind state is so important. And I tell people all the time, like be positive. They say like even just like going out and forcing yourself to smile can bring like, you know, positive like endorphins to your body, and your body like feels that, and then you just start feeling better. So, I just try to encourage people to have that glass half full mentality and take things one step at a time. That's all you can do. You take things one day at a time and have faith that things are going to get better. And oftentimes they do.
Yeah. And with someone like you too, with your word obviously carries a lot of weight with people. So hearing someone like you talk about that is going to be, I feel like, huge for a lot of people. We talked a lot about your accomplishments already so far, title wins, WrestleMania moments, et cetera, et cetera. Just top to bottom, insane Hall of Fame worthy career, obviously. What's left for Kofi to check off the list? Is there more on the list, or is it kind of just, you know what? Now it's time to explore and freestyle with it a little bit. And,
I think we're always in a state of like freestyling. I think the ability to adapt is so important. It's such an important trait to have in our industry, because as much as you want to plan how things are going to be and you know, have all these goals, a lot of it is out of your hands. And I would venture to say that like most of it is out of your hands. Like the only thing that I can really control is going out and, you know, having the best performance that I can possibly have, whether it be on the mic or in the ring or anywhere, really, you know, that brings, you know what I mean? Like, again, I keep talking about like this law of attraction, but like, that's what brings the success to you. Like, for the WWE Championship, I didn't like plan it this way. I didn't say like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to sniff the title for 11 years. And then on the 11th year, And then on the 11th year, we're gonna get a big movement. Like it.
No, that wasn't happened. That wasn't your plan from the beginning.
No,
interesting.
Believe it or not, we're gonna put the title on you. Nah, you know what, Vince? Let's just wait.
We got about a decade.
We got
and then,
6 years left. I don't want to be in the picture at all. You know, we don't wait. You know, but I always had the mentality that if I went out there and just did the best that I could, then everything else would fall in line. And obviously that situation happened with Ali getting hurt, which is incredibly unfortunate. Even to this day, I still feel a little guilty about that.
Sure.
But you never know what's going to happen, right? Mm. You never know who's going to get hurt. You never know when you're going to be called on, when your number's going to be called.
Yeah.
And you damn sure better be ready, you know, because you might only get one shot, right? So,
hell yeah.
I think for me right now, again, like seeing E do his thing, any way I can support him, I'm doing that. And then for Woods being king is amazing too. Yeah. So right now I'm in this big, like, hey, support your homies, right?
Yeah.
Support your homies phase right now.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, man, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. What about kind of more so outside of wrestling in your personal, do you have some personal goals? You've got projects you're working on, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. I think that, so we've gotten the chance to do a lot of, like voiceover work with, so Gears of War,
we
were in Gears 5, right?
That was such a sick collaboration.
Which, like
that
how did that even, how, dude, how, so sick. Like my mind is still blown, man. Like I see those pictures and the scans and everything, which is awesome.
They're so good too. The scans are unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
You know, just crazy, you know? So, we've done that. There's just been a lot of like voiceover work that we've done. And, I've had the opportunity to cross paths with some of the guys who have done voice work for Dragon Ball.
Ooh,
so like Funimation, I've gotten to go there and I watched a session be filmed for like, or recorded for My Hero Academia.
Wow.
So I think for me, like that's, I would love to do that. You know, I'd love to do like voiceover work, especially for like anime, because I'm in so deep right now, man. I'm in so deep. You know, I used to be like a huge, obviously like a huge Dragon Ball guy.
Yeah.
But now I've just started watching Naruto, which is amazing. So it's so good. I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but I didn't expect it to be this, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
So, I think for me, like I would really love to do a lot of, like just voiceover work, you know? Obviously acting and being in movies is cool as well.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Is that a goal of yours? Is that kind of, sort of.
I've been like, so I was in the main event, which was a Netflix movie, which was essentially like a kid who wanted to be a wrestler. He finds a mask that has magic powers and it enables him to do all these crazy moves. And I'm like his idol in the movie.
How have I not heard of this?
You haven't seen, bro, the main event on Netflix, man.
I have not heard and or seen of that.
There's a lot of us in there, man. I'm in there. Sheamus is in there. Miz, Keith Lee, or Bearcat Lee, excuse me. Bearcat Lee, you know, he's in there.
Bro, why is this the first time I'm hearing about this?
That's crazy. Oh, come on, man. It came out last year. So, actually like right before, things kind of shut down, we had filmed everything. So, that was a really, really cool experience. And I actually got to be across the set from Tashina Arnold, who was Pam in the Martin series way back. So like, again, like going back to like, you know, 8-year-old me saying like, hey man, you're going to be in a movie with Pam.
And one day.
So she's like, the grandmother of the kid. And she has like a love it, like, you know, has a crush on me or whatever. So it's just a wild situation. So, that was cool. The Undertaker, Escape the Undertaker, which we just had come out on Netflix, was a little cool.
Such a cool concept.
Being on set. Oh my God. It was awesome. Again, also on Netflix, check that out. You know, kind of a choose your own adventure situation where we're trying to escape the Undertaker's house, but we broke into his house. So we kind of deserve to not escape.
It's a live, like choose your own adventure Goosebumps book with wrestlers. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how I describe it to somebody. It's so cool.
So we've had like a lot of experiences on set, which have been awesome. Even being on like the new iteration of All That across from Kel Mitchell.
So jealous.
But in all these roles, I've had to play myself. So that's a little like, it's a little awkward because it's like, well, am I playing myself right? Would I say this? And then you get direction. It's like, I wouldn't say that, but you want me to. So I really want to try it from the perspective of being like a completely different character where I can, immerse myself into the experience. Cause then I'll know for sure if that's what I want to do.
Sure.
But I just want to make sure that whatever it is that I do, if it was to be, in the film industry, that it was like, that it was good.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I don't want to do it just to do it. I don't want to do it just to do it. I want to be able to do it the right way. I'm not arrogant enough to think that you can just, you know, jump from this industry to that industry just because you're in front of a camera. It's completely different than what we do. Even The Rock and Batista will tell you that, like, the work that they had to do was immense, right?
Crazy.
Like, you had to do a lot of work to be able to get in front of the camera and portray things in a way that, that they want, that the director wants you to do it. So, I want to be able to like play a completely different character. Cause that, it just intrigues me. It just intrigues me to be able to step outside yourself and be somebody who you're not. So, I think those are two of the things that I definitely want to do for sure. And among other things too, but you know, we could be here all day. So,
now I got to go add the main event to my Netflix queue.
Come on, man.
So here's one for you. You can only wear one pair of shoes for the rest of your life. What's the shoe?
Oh my God. So you're saying one pair as in like one actual pair or one style?
One pair, one colorway.
You see how I tried to like open it up a little bit.
I see what you're trying to do.
One pair.
You ain't getting out of this one.
Oh, for the rest of my life. Oh,
The rest of your life. And obviously, if anybody listening doesn't know, I'm sure they should know, but Kofi is a big sneakerhead, big shoe guy.
Huge,
so,
man.
So I know I'm ripping his soul apart with this.
I don't know whether to go for like style or for comfort here. Because you're talking about the rest of your life.
Rest of your life, one shoe every day.
Oh, Jesus. I think. Okay, so what I've been wearing for the past like year is the Air Jordan 1 Zoom Air Comfort. So it's a little bit different than the Air Jordan 1 because it's a lot more comfortable, like the name suggests. There's more padding. It's light. And my problem with the regular Jordan 1s is that sometimes, like, it's not a problem with the shoe. It's a problem with my feet, right? Like, they don't, like, my toe always, like, bashes up into the side. So I get, like, blisters and the padding in there doesn't really support me. Like, I like to be supported. But I found a way around that by buying, like, a random sole off of Amazon that I can put on the inside, an insole. Ooh. And then I can widen the shoe out to help it, like, fit my foot a little bit better. Yeah. But the Zoom Air Comfort is almost like perfect for me out of the box. So you get the style, but you also get the comfort. And then they're flat footed too. So even in the gym, doing like squats and deadlifts and stuff like that, it's important to have like a flat. Some people like to go barefoot, but the next best thing is to have like a flat base. So I was teetering between like Ultra Boost and this, but if I have to go with like the style aspect, the Jordan 1 is just timeless. It goes with anything. You can wear it with a suit.
I love
the PSG colorway has like a little purple base. It's Paris Saint-Germain, you know, soccer team or football team in France. it's a little like off-white, but a little bit of black on there and some purple and light purple, dark purple on there as well. So it's got the bright colors for me. I'm just talking myself through it, you know?
No,
but because that's the one that I've been wearing for about the past year. Those are my beaters for sure. So PSG Zoom Air Comforts.
I think probably a good like 8 out of 10 shoes on my like want list are some version of the Jordan 1s and like,
man.
You know, so they just so many different styles and colors, everything. It's timeless.
Bro, it's too much. Sometimes they'll have colors like transition.
Like
go ahead.
Much like a Kofi Kingston, a timeless, you know, piece of the culture. Timeless piece of the culture.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that.
Before I get ready to let you go, you brought this up earlier, and now I cut it. You might even not remember because you just mentioned it in passing. What's a fact about Kofi Kingston that people might be surprised to hear?
A fact about Kofi Kingston.
Because you said earlier about the marshmallows, and I was like, oh, that's so random. Like, you have random shit like that?
Let's see.
Like, here's something that people probably, that you don't get to talk about a lot, or that you don't get to tweet about, or whatever.
It's like, I feel like I'm so open now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, people probably know this, but if you don't watch Up, Up, Down, Down, then you don't know this. But when I play video games, I turn into a completely different person. And you know this. As a matter of fact, you know this because we played a game of Madden together, you know?
And well, I thank you, everybody, for stopping
No. They want to let them hear this. They want to hear. And it's about go. So like you said, you go on to Netflix, you look up the main event, you go look up Escape the Undertaker, but also go to Up, Up, Down, Down, look up Kofi versus the Dank. You know, look up Kofi versus Danker, and you'll see this drubbing.
That doesn't
this drubbing,
sound
you know?
Like a video that exists.
That's a video that the people want to see because they see you in such a positive light here as the host. And, wow, man, yo, he's so cool, man. Yo, we love him. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I can't wait to listen to the podcast. Wow, I love it. Wow. But you got to see him in a different light because what I play for is what a thing that I like to call posture. You know what posture is. People tell you to sit straight up. I play for posture. Because
you do.
People, they get into Madden, and they, you know, they're sitting up on the edge of their seat, their back straight looking real good, you know, playing the game. But then after I get through with them, first quarter comes, and they start slouching down in their seat a little bit. They lean back. And then by the time fourth quarter comes down, they're just complete reverse arc of the back, and they're just terrible posture, and their face is all droopy, and they don't want to be there, you know. And I just, I'm turning into that person right now because I'm talking about video games. And I was trying to say that, like, you know, like what people don't know is like I just can't help it. I become a real jerk. A real jerk. It's bad. Even like watching that video back to, like, you know,
sometimes you're rooting yourself on.
I felt bad because, like, you know, the game sometimes will determine, like, hey, this guy is not going to win under any circumstance. You're going to make all the right plays. You're going to make all the right audibles, but we're going to have the other team win no matter what. So I think one of those games was kind of happening, so I could see you getting like frustrated.
Bad.
You know, yeah, it's
fine. It happens.
You're getting frustrated. I'm over here and I'm just like, I'm rubbing it in and just talking all this trash, man. You know, so apologies for that. That's not the Kofi Kingston that you just called timeless and that you put over.
No,
you
know,
it's a different guy. It's a different personality.
No, it's a part of who you are. So, it's, hey, look, you know, like you said, just as much as anybody else, when it comes to certain games and stuff, that competitiveness just kind of comes out, and you start talking that shit, and it doesn't mean anything, and it's, you know, at the end of the day, It's just good old friendly banter.
Yeah.
I wanted to take a second before you dip to give you a couple flowers because I like to do that with some of my guests. You have done an incredible job at breaking a barrier that a lot of people thought might not ever break. I know personally, I'm insanely happy to have been able to witness like damn near every one of those accomplishments we talked about for you. You were my girlfriend's favorite wrestler when I finally started, like, got her to start watching wrestling. She's like, oh, I love it. He's jumping and flipping. Yeah, he's awesome. You've made such an impact for so many people, and I'm grateful to know you as a person, and I just wish you the absolute, absolute best. And, you know, I hope that the future for you is nothing but friggin' amazing.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that beyond words, man. You know, you're not alone. A lot of people say those things. And for me, I'm getting emotional. Oh, God. For me, like I said a couple of times earlier, is like, that's what it's all about, is being able to, like, put a smile on somebody's face, you know, and make people feel good and enjoy good vibes throughout their life. So, thank you for saying that, because then it makes me feel like, okay, you know, it's confirmation that I'm doing what I'm wanting to do, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So, thanks, man.
Confirmed, absolutely, bro. Thank you, man. Get your plugs in. Where can people find you at? Where can people
follow
you?
Oh yeah. You can follow me on the social media, on the Twitter at True Kofi, and then also on the Gram at True Kofi as well. And if y'all want to listen to the New Day podcast, myself, Woods, and E, we talk about things, you know, the New Day, Feel the Power on Spotify. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, the main event, to go back to Netflix, check that out. Yeah. Escape the Undertaker, check that out. Go to check out Up, Up, Down, Down, gaming channel, you know, Xavier Woods, the brainchild, he's not the brainchild. The brainchild is the master planner.
It is his
brainchild. You know what I'm trying to say. Just go check out the damn channel. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's an amazing thing too. So Laser Wolf, Big E, you know, speaking of voiceover stuff, we got to do voiceover work on that as well. Mm. Big E is a character on Laser Wolf, which you can also find if you just plug it in the search.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, man, we do things. We do things.
You do things, and you are great at all of them. Kofi, thank you so much for chilling today, man. I appreciate you being here.
Right on,
my
man.
Absolute honor. Love you, and I hope you wish you the absolute best, bro.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.